Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to our brand new, sexy, fresh out the oven, freshly marinated, right out the farms of Nicaragua.
Why Nicaragua?
I was just trying to think of, well, I was like, yo, Nicaragua just sounds like it has some fresh ass ingredients.
Do you know where Nicaragua is?
It's Central America.
I have no idea. Thank you.
Didn't you, in Animaniacs, you know?
I am the only person that doesn't, you know when people say countries, I know, I've heard of the names. I don't know where the fuck they are though.
I'm like that with the states. A lot of our states in the United States, I like between LA and New York. Oh, those are cities. Between California, New York, Texas. Hold on. What's up, y'all? Welcome to a brand new podcast. We decided to come together and do a brand new podcast. This is Dudes Behind the Foods. I'm Tim Chantharongsu, if you didn't know.
And I'm David So.
You might have seen our food shows that we do together. We got Send Foods, which we've been doing for like 3 years now.
Maybe even longer.
No, it's like three.
It's longer.
Okay, well, God damn it. We'll Google it. Send Foods, and then we also do our little side missions on When Foodie Calls. And David has his podcast.
You also have MTV's Bad and Bougie.
Basic to Bougie, okay. Yeah. It's a food thing I do. And you also have your Netflix food show.
That got canceled.
it's okay. You said you had it.
I had it.
You did it.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
You got your check?
Seasons. Yeah, the best leftovers ever.
Yes. And I do fucking Deliciousness on MTV.
Oh, you just think you're so special.
But we just, you know, we do a lot of food stuff. You have your podcast. You have Genius Brain. I have No Chaser podcast. And for those of y'all who love our individual podcasts, don't trip. We're still doing those. This is just, I figure, you know, you and me like talking about food. We like talking about bullshit. Studio 71 is going to want to give me more money to do another podcast. So I said, let's do this.
You know, speaking of fucking states that we went to, one of the worst food festivals that I think I was super disappointed in,
yeah,
was the one, was it Idaho? It was the Bacon Festival.
The Bacon Festival, yeah. Was it in Des Moines?
Des Moines, Iowa. Listen, no disrespect. Some of the most ugliest people I've ever seen in my life.
Well, to be fair,
it was very cold.
To be fair, we were at a bacon festival.
We were at a bacon festival.
So I'm sure there's a lot of attractive people in Des Moines.
Oh, 100%.
But
they were not at the bacon festival.
They were not at the bacon festival.
I have never felt so attractive in my life. That was some of the worst food that I think we've ever had at the festival.
I'm glad you brought this up because also one of the main things I wanted to do with this podcast, aside from, you know, just speak about food and food trends and different things we love, is give little background stories that people might not know from our Send Foods adventures, from our travels, from our, you know, because we've been a lot of places, had a lot of tastes.
I gained a lot of weights. I've gained so much weight.
Let's talk about that real quick before we get into... Wait. Let's talk about the bacon first. Yes. That was a struggle because I was so excited about a bacon festival, right? Because I thought, oh, they're going to get so, like, just innovative with the bacon.
I mean, it's fucking bacon. How can you fuck up bacon?
You know, and the thing is, they fucked up by just going too hard on the bacon. Everything was just bacon, and it was like it got so heavy after like three items.
It was
right?
Just so I just remember they had like the sausage wrapped bacon, which was already just sausage already salty as it is,
right?
And then you wrapped another bacon around it. I didn't want it.
I mean, I love a good bacon wrapped hot dog, bacon wrapped sausage.
That's different though because we had like the bun and shit around it. It was just the sausage and
yeah,
the bacon wrapped around.
Facts, because like when you get those LA dogs out here with
got
the
peppers,
yeah, the peppers, and they throw all the condiments on there after the club. You're drunk as shit. Mm.
I used to go to this. So when I was living in K-Town, I used to live on the street called Hoover. do you remember that show Gangland?
Yeah, I never watched it though.
Okay, so Gangland, they basically highlight the best, not the best, the fucking craziest gangs in the United States. The best gangs ever. But I didn't know. So I remember watching this show and they were doing MS-13.
Uh-huh.
MS-13's crazy huge gang, right?
Yeah.
So I was sitting there, and at this time I didn't know about MS-13 because mm-hmm. MS-13, I don't think there's a MS-13 in Sacramento.
Okay.
That's where I grew up. So they're doing this excerpt, and they're like, MS-13 runs from this street all the way to Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Hoover? Where the fuck is that? It's where I fucking live, and I only knew because as they were doing the scene where they're driving by the neighborhoods, it was right in front of the house I was living.
Interesting.
I had no idea. And what I found out through that documentary was that they do the whole thing where it's kind of like mafia, where you have to pay them a toll and they'll protect you.
Oh.
So a lot of those hot dog carts, they kind of run.
Really?
Yeah, in that specific area. So I've been going to this hot dog cart right across from where I live. It's at this club called Medusa.
Yeah.
So Medusa, after I saw that documentary, you know those moments where you're kind of ignorant to everything?
Yeah.
But the moment I saw that documentary, I realized I was in a heavily gang-populated area. All the MS-13 tags were apparent to me. And I would walk over to this hot dog spot at this cart in front of the club in Medusa.
Yeah.
And there was this dude just tatted up with MS-13 tattoos on his face.
Everywhere.
He was there the whole time. I had no fucking idea.
Interesting. And even the sweet little lady grilling up your hot dogs had a fucking MS-13 on her neck.
I would always go there. Can I get 4 hot dogs, please? She's like, 4?
She's like, are you the police?
Yeah.
Police?
Yeah,
this can't be real.
I know. Some guy grabs my shoulder. Why do you want 4? I'm a fat. Give me 7, please.
Real quick tangent about bacon-wrapped hot dogs. Bro, one time, the power went out in my condo, right? And this is back when I was living in Paramount, and I was so fucking hungry. And all I had was like a pack of these like bacon wrapped hot dogs. It was already bacon wrapped hot dogs in this pack. And I'm like, shit. You know, in my head, I was like, yo, fucking all the electricity out. Microwave doesn't work. Electric stove is fucked up. What am I going to do, right? So I'm like, I'm going to grill these hot dogs over like my little fireplace. I'm like, genius. You know what I'm saying? So I put a fucking bacon wrapped hot dog.
Dog, how poor were you?
I just was living bachelor life. I didn't have any groceries.
That's the poorest thing I've ever heard in my life. Why are you so poor? Fuck.
I just didn't. I was living like, you know, single. I wasn't single, but I was living that bachelor life. So I didn't have fucking groceries, right? Also, like, this was before I feel Postmates was really a poppin' thing, you know? I don't really remember it being an option back then. So I put the hot dog on a chopstick, and I'm, like, turning on the fireplace, and I'm grilling the shit. I'm like, I'm a fucking genius, right? I ate the hot dog. I think I didn't do the bacon enough because it low-key upset my stomach. But I'm like talking to Rick. I'm like, bro, I'm such a genius. I'm grilling the hot dogs over the fireplace. And Rick is like, your stove is like a gas stove. I was like, oh, shit. He's like, isn't your stove gas? I was like, Yes, it is.
Wait, so wait, your fireplace was a gas fireplace?
Yeah.
It was him. It's what? The same thing.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You too can make it, everybody. This man. This man made it.
But yes, bacon in Des Moines, it was fucked up. I thought I was going to get so many finessed bacon treats, but it was so much just bacon on bacon, right?
I think a lot of people, so this is, let's just go back to the process of how like Send Foods and these food festivals work, right? Mm-hmm. So in a span of 3 hours, we're literally eating probably about 10 to 12 different spots.
Yeah.
And even if you take small bites, which I never do, it just accumulates to a lot of food. So if every vendor is doing the same thing, mm-hmm. you're eating the same thing over and over and over. Now, mind you, when we say the certain foods taste pretty decent, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Right? It's decent. Yeah. But what happens is like you only get to see about six of them that we eat. Mm-hmm. And even when we go through a lot. So like the hard part is like when you go to something like the bacon festival, bacon is something that's very – I mean, it's universally loved. Everybody loves bacon, right?
We don't love bacon.
But it's fucking salty as shit. Mm-hmm. So when you use bacon, the application can be just for anything. You could have it by itself if you want, but mm-hmm. you know, how fun is that? Or people should use it as to season something else, mm-hmm. like to elevate another dish, whether it's bacon fat that you use to cook something in, mm-hmm. whether you add it as a topping, or if you make it the centerpiece, you have to learn how to mitigate the saltiness and sometimes the smokiness of that bacon.
Got
to
balance that shit out.
Yeah. That's why people love it on top of like mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Like the salty crunch on it, you know, becomes a little smoky. I don't mm-hmm. know what you can do with it, but it adds something to it. You just have bacon all over, it becomes really greasy. And that's something that I didn't realize when I first started cooking. Mm. I always assumed that excess was always better. Mm. I never balanced anything out. Mm-hmm. It's like when I remember the first time I ever made lasagna. So when I was a kid, I used to always watch, because I didn't have cable, mm-hmm. I used to watch all these Yan Can Cook, Jacques Pepin, Julia Childs.
Yes, all the super decadent cooks, mad butter, yeah. mad this, mad that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I started making Italian food. That was the first food that I ever wanted to make outside of Korean food that I would make at home. Mm-hmm. I remember I said, there's no such thing as too much cheese. And so I made this lasagna. I quadrupled the recipe up yeah. on the cheese. I was like, this shit's going to be fucking fire.
Right.
I let it cool down a bit. I stuck my fork in it to take a piece out, and the whole fucking lasagna came out.
It was just fucking congealed into one piece.
It was just
what?
One fucking piece of cheese. Ah. I bit into it, and I threw it away.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people sometimes cook like that. They mm-hmm. think that, oh, if I add more things that I enjoy, it's going to taste better. But there's always balance.
That's that American in you, dog.
That's why I'm so fat. I can't help it. I've gained probably in pandemic 15 to 17 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, I'm getting about 17 pounds.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this then, because when we first started Send Foods, you were a chunky boy.
Just say fat, Tim.
I'm not going to fat shame you, okay?
No, you fat shame me.
I let you fat shame yourself. You do that enough. So I'm going to say you were a glisteny lechon pig of a boy. But that is a positive in my eyes. But I didn't realize you were that big until you started losing weight. I didn't realize that you lost so much weight during like the course of when we started Send Foods, you know what I'm saying? Because by the time we sold it to Thrillist, bro, you were looking so fit. How much weight did you lose between, let's say, the first episode of Send Foods and when we were on Thrillist with Send Foods?
80 pounds.
Were you lying?
I lost 80 pounds, dude.
What?
So you know what the funny thing is? I thought I weighed around like 270 pounds.
Yeah.
That's from what I remember. But then I went to this app called MyFitnessPal. Uh-huh. All right. And you basically track your progress from what you weigh yourself in. I was at the highest peak. I say 280, but it was more like 289.
Okay.
So I was almost 290 pounds.
Yeah.
I had no fucking idea. Huh. Right, so, and that's 289, and obviously I think when I put the weight in, you want to put in your highest weight, so when you lose weight, it's a lot more drastic.
Right.
So it was like 289 after like a fat meal or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know I was that big. And I don't think, and I still remember the few times that, because when you're big and you kind of like make it a part of your identity, you don't really think you're really fucking big, it's just who you are.
Right.
But I remember, and I talk about the story on my podcast where, one of the biggest moments where I realized I was fat. My lady and I, we were going out to eat.
Oh, yes. I know this story. Yeah,
and there was two people across from us that were fucking fat. And my fucking fat ass looked at them and I was like, look at these two fat people. And then my lady looks at me and she goes, "You're fatter than them. What are you talking about?"
And then like, your world fell apart.
It all fucking started crashing in. I was like, "What the fuck?" Well, it's like, "Fucking bitch. Wait, what do you mean? I'm not bigger than them." I was bigger than them. I had no fucking idea.
Right.
And that's when I got on the scale. And I think at the time it said like 270. Mm. So even after I saw that, I got heavier. So it was like 270. I'm like, "What the fuck? I'm supposed to be at most 240 pounds. Mm. It's like, this isn't real. And then I started noticing everything. Like when I was walking down the stairs, like my titties would jiggle. Like I started noticing like how much I was eating. And it gets to the point too where you're so unhealthy. All the stuff that you have that shows how unhealthy you are, you kind of just normalize it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, everybody has diarrhea every day.
You know? Everybody's titties jiggle down the stairs.
Everybody. I had heartburn every fucking day.
Did you really?
I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would have acid reflux. Mm. And so it would wake me up because I would just, you know, gurgle up acid.
Huh.
And I didn't know, like, it's so fucking stupid to say this, but I just thought that was just life.
That's just part of life.
Yeah, it's just something that I have to deal with because my dad has acid reflux and he's not fat. So I'm like, oh, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. But as you get older, a lot of the stuff that you're uncomfortable with, you become a lot more aware. Mm-hmm. So like the back pain.
Because you start thinking about the future. You're like, shit, if this is me at fucking 30, how's it going to be in 20 years?
I had no fucking idea. And guess what? Mariel was still with me during this disgusting time.
Wow, she's a real one.
And she was hyper fit. She would bike everywhere. She would rock climb.
And she would still have sex with you? She would still do that?
I owe her a bigger ring. She goes, "Why does everything smell like bacon?"
She's like, "Am I at the Des Moines Bacon Fest? What's going on? This is too much."
When she was on top, she was just slide off because I was so greasy. She's like, "Oh!" Yeah, but she stuck with me knowing that I was just killing myself every day with all these food choices. Oh, you know how much I used to eat? Like, so in the MyFitnessPal, you could see what you could track. And so when you start to lose weight, one of the things that you have to do is understand what your caloric intake is every day, where you're starting at.
Right.
My caloric intake on average was about 4,000 to 3,200 calories.
Really?
Per day. So I would wake up and I would eat like ramen. Like two eggs, hot dogs, slice them in there, right? Ooh, green onions,
yeah,
right? And you slightly poach those two eggs. I would eat that shit, right?
Fuck yeah.
I would snack on a few things here.
You're talking dirty to me right now, dog.
And then for lunch, so I was on a taco binge. That's why I know so many taco spots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I would go to one of my favorite spots on earth. It was Avenue 26. It was these dollar tacos, these Tijuana style tacos, right? I would eat like seven of those little tacos.
Good Lord.
Right? And then I would go to like, I don't know, in K-Town, I'll go to eat at Denny's late at night after I was drinking all night.
That's so funny that you say that, because when you said your caloric number, I was like, damn, that's like two fucking Grand Slam breakfasts.
So at nighttime at Denny's, I would always get the fucking Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because it's the most amount of food. Mm-hmm. I would go ahead and smash that. Mm. And then it would be even late at night. Then I get tacos again.
Damn, son. But what were you doing with your day? Why are you like...
Eating. That's all I would do.
That's your schedule? You're like, all right, alarm went off for the ramen. Oh, wait, it's taco time too. Oh, shit.
Well, guys, today I have to... That's the fat person voice. I would do all that, and I would just write all day. And I wouldn't be active. And occasionally I play ball. I do all this other stuff. But then it was like about 4,000 to 3,200 a day on calories.
Shit.
And that's how much I was eating. And you don't know until you start tracking this into the app.
Yeah.
And then I had to slowly go on a deficit. And let me tell you, though, the first fucking month of me losing weight, I was an asshole. I still remember Abe. I remember Abe came down one time and he was like, "Hey, bro, you want to get something to eat?" I was like, "I just fucking ate. What the fuck do you want?" And he's like, "Are you so mean?"
Yeah.
It's because I was just hungry.
It'll definitely affect your mental, like, I've told this story on my podcast, and let me tell you guys, those of you who love me and David, you're going to hear a lot of the same stories that you heard on our podcast, but this is different now because it's us two together, right?
That's right.
So when I was my first season on Wildin' Out, I remember shooting and filming and being like, I look like a regular person, right? And then once I saw that season air, I was like, holy shit, I look fucking fat. And like that whole camera adds 10 pound shit was so real. I couldn't believe it. And then so going into the next couple seasons, I was offered a brand deal with Beachbody, right? And they were like, yeah, we'll you guys can use these new DVDs, and I got a little bag.
Oh, DVDs.
Oh,
dude.
The DVDs, dog. And they were like, we'll pay you a bag to use this and document it and lose weight, right? But here's what they didn't tell you guys. Here's what they didn't tell you. I've never actually exposed this part of the deal in public before. Yes, we lost weight by using their DVDs, and this particular, I think it was 21 Day Fix, it comes with a very strict meal plan. So, like, they have little Tupperware things for you to, like, portion out your food, right? But what we didn't say in my, like, videos and shit is that, like, we were only eating the food they sent to us. So it's not like we were getting our own food together. They would say, hey, this is what you eat for the day. So it made it way easier because I didn't have to fucking figure out what went in the little Tupperware things, you know?
Yeah.
So they were sending us healthy food to eat. We were only allowed to eat that. And also, as like a bonus, they're like, we're going to give you a trainer 3 days out of the week to help you go through these DVDs. So we were like, we would have to do the DVDs every day at home, but also 3 days out of the week, we were with a Beachbody trainer that would like kind of help us out. So it kind of made the whole process way easier.
Guy,
right?
Or girl?
It was a girl.
Oh, way better.
She was dope too.
They make you work harder.
They do, because you're like, oh man, you know, at the end of the day, I don't care about my health. I just want to look attractive. Fuck my high cholesterol. Fuck the health. I just want to look good naked. All right. So, but I lost 20 pounds, and I remember during that whole 6 week process, right? Speaking of the mental toll it takes on you, I was so fucking hungry. Like, me and Rick went from talking about booties all day to being like, oh, a cheeseburger would be amazing right now. Instead of being like, yo, did you see?
Oh, wait, Rick did it with you.
Rick did it with me. I lost 20 pounds. Rick lost 30 pounds.
In how long?
Rick didn't get a bag. Rick was just like, they offered him like, hey, since his following wasn't as much as mine, they were like, we'll give you everything for free to document it. But he didn't get like paid like I did. But 6 weeks, he lost 30 pounds. I lost 20 pounds.
Damn, that's really fucking good.
Yeah, bro. It was crazy. And we just were just so hungry together. You know what I'm saying? And then after my shit was done and I got my check for losing that weight and I dropped my video, I went in that week. Fucking first meal I had, ramen. And then I was going in on everything else. I gained 10 pounds back in a week.
Damn.
Yes, dog. But since then, I've been able to maintain. I've stayed at that weight. But I literally lost 20 pounds in 6 weeks, gained 10 pounds back in a week.
I just pictured you and Rick just hungry as fuck. It's like, hey, dog, remember that one time you grilled the hot dogs over that fireplace?
Yeah. Instead of...
That shit, you know, I know I was making fun of you, but that shit was genius.
I could go for a fireplace grilled hot dog right now. Oh, man. What a struggle.
You lost 30 pounds in 6 weeks? That's pretty fucking crazy.
I lost 20. Rick lost 30. Yeah. But also, like, I because I have a big-ass head, right? So I looked great on camera. When I went to go film, I was like, I look popping. My jawline looks great. My fucking cheekbones are cheeking. But then in real life, I look kind of borderline a little too skinny because I have such a big-ass, round-ass head. Like, Rick was like, yeah, you look like Big Boy when he got his like gastric bypass surgery.
Oh no.
Fucking lollipop effect, you know?
Yeah, Big Boy looks interesting when he lost all the weight.
Yeah.
It's what, so Rick lost, you said he lost what, 30?
Rick lost 30.
In a matter of what? That's like a month and a half.
Month and a half, yeah.
That's really fucking good.
Yeah.
That's crazy, cuz when I was first losing weight in the first month, I lost 1 pound.
Mm.
And that was hard cuz it was like I had to learn to enjoy the process of being healthier than looking for the goal of losing weight. Because that's the hardest part. It's like when you first start to lose weight, if your goal is to, and this is just for me, everybody's different, right? Because I didn't have the goal of looking good when I was naked. I just was dying. So I needed to live.
Yeah.
So I just had this idea of, okay, you know what? You lost 1 pound in the first month. You have to be okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then me kind of loving the process of doing healthier things, of walking. So I used to walk every day.
Mm-hmm.
So the first month I would walk 1 mile a day. No matter what it is, I could just do that one activity.
Yeah.
I didn't worry about the food that I was eating. I just walked 1 mile a day and I lost 1 pound in a month.
Mm.
And at first, the first thought is, I just lost 1 pound?
After all that?
Yeah, I was pretty pissed. But then I was like, hey, you know what? 1 pound is better than where you were before.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second month, I upped it to 2 miles a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started tracking what I was eating. And that's when I found out I was eating like 3,200, whatever calories a day. And then I started taking away from that. And the second month, I lost like 16 pounds.
Amazing. Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, oh, shit, this is starting to work. Then I started falling in love with kickboxing and everything else. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, after like a year, I lost about 80 pounds or so.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it took a while, you know. So you could see it throughout the podcast. Like, it'll go down.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's beautiful. Let's take a break to hear from our sponsors.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Tim.
And David.
And if you want to listen to Dudes Behind the Foods without ads, now you can.
Just go to dudesbehindthefoods.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description, and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app, and you'll be supporting our show too.
That's dudesbehindthefoods.supercast.com. Thanks.
That's dope, man. I still feel like you look great.
Let me tell you this though. I went to a wedding not too long ago, and I had this suit, mm-hmm. and so he got us all suits that we can go ahead and get tailored and custom. Mm-hmm. So prior to the wedding, this was before I went to Hawaii. Mm. I got it all fitted up. Mm. A week before the wedding comes, suit doesn't fit.
Hawaii will do that to you.
Hawaii fucks me up, man.
Bruh. Especially like, you know, I'm not a good swimmer. So I'm not in Hawaii in the fucking waves and shit. I'm eating in Hawaii. I'm eating all the things. I think there's just so much good food.
And you know what it is about people in Hawaii? They don't give a fuck about what they look like. They look like me. So I don't have this pressure to lose weight. Okay, here's another thing. Send Foods. We went to Miami.
Yeah, Miami will make you want to lose weight.
Miami made me feel so fat. And I was very thin at the time. Why is everybody so buff in Miami?
Yeah.
Steroids.
And BBL fat transfer surgeries. Yeah.
They are some of the most, like, physically, I'm not talking about their face, they're jacked as fuck.
Who cares about the face when the bodies are that great, you know?
I'm telling you. Everybody was hyper fit. I don't feel self-conscious about the way I look. Even when I was big, I was the big guy that would go into the water without his shirt on.
Right.
Right? Because I know a lot of big dudes, because in high school I used to do that, where I would just keep my shirt on because I was self-conscious. Mm-hmm. But then after I left high school, I'm like, you know what? this looks like a wet t-shirt contest. just take the fucking shirt off. People know you're fat whether you have the shirt on or not.
Right.
The one difference is I'm comfortable here and I'm not comfortable there.
You keep the shirt on, they're going to be like, oh, he's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Nobody's making eye contact with me in the water. They're just like, oh, I didn't know you didn't have your shirt on. It's like, yeah, you did. So I just stopped doing that.
Right.
Miami made me feel self-conscious.
Really?
Yeah, because everybody was so fit.
Everyone was pretty fucking fit and hot. Yeah.
And they had even tans.
Everyone was tanned. Everyone was just asses out. It was beautiful. I mean, the asses be out in Hawaii too. I didn't realize just cheeks out was so common in Hawaii.
It's the standard over there.
Yeah.
I have to be in the water for a little longer now.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Because his penis is erect.
I have my sunglasses and I'm facing towards the beach. And I'm just floating in the water. Like, what's wrong with that? Why is that blind man in the water for so long?
Someone save him.
I'm fine.
Get out of the way, bitch.
Get out of the way. I'm fine.
Ah, man. Nah, Hawaii's great. I'm glad we got to do a Send Foods in Hawaii. Because also, you know what? Because when we filmed Send Foods in Hawaii, we extended and stayed out there a few more days, right? Mm-hmm. Because and we don't normally do that for the Send Foods trips. But I remember... It was, you know, I took Chia, and then you introduced us to your Hawaiian friend, who, like, you know, took us to all the food spots too, and you know all the food spots. So it was like, oh my goodness, I'm eating so much, and not only like just fire like spam musubis from 7-Eleven, but then like fucking bougie spots too. I'm not gonna lie, some of the best steak I've ever had was at like a resort in Hawaii, you know, and like, ugh, I think me and Chia one time we went to. When we were in Hawaii, we stayed at somewhere, but Chef Marimoto from like you know the Food Network, like a restaurant that was a part of our hotel, and everything was just so bomb. And I put Chia on, like Chia didn't really used to eat the raw sushi type vibes, like mm-hmm. she was never down to get down on some sashimi until I kind of like
slapped her
around. So, what's wrong with you, girl? I took her to Sugarfish, and then I was like, just, you know, order the Trust Me and just trust it. You know what I'm saying? Just don't be afraid. And she was like, oh, this is good. I'm like, yes.
See, I think I appreciate that about her, though. She's willing to go ahead and try the food.
Yeah, for the most part. She's kind of changed over the years. She's a little less adventurous than she was when we first met.
I'm set in my ways.
She like, you know, she used to be down. Well, she used to not be down, and then I think I took her to a bunch of places and she tried a bunch of different food and then she liked it. You know, she's pretty pro with the Thai food now, you know what I'm saying? But over the past few years, I feel like she's very like, all of a sudden about certain things. I don't know when that happened.
She's you know what's interesting? Because when you look at somebody like her, you would think that she's very healthy with her food choices.
Right, right.
But she just portion controls.
Completely.
When she's full, she stops.
Yeah.
I never do that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I have been, let me tell you, I've been flabbergasted at the amount of food this man will make himself eat if he enjoys the meal. I remember, let me talk about this. We were in motherfucking Houston.
Oh, no.
For the failed Send Foods episode. We were supposed to go to a crawfish festival, and it like rained the day before we got there, something like that. So the whole thing got canceled, and you and me were already in Houston, so we were like, trip was paid for. Thrillist people were like, oh, well, all right, guys, well, shit, just have fun then, you know? And I asked Instagram or Twitter, I forget, but I was like, what's some bomb spots in Houston? And this girl, I forget her name, sorry, but she recommended Katarobata. She was like, if you guys don't mind spending a little money, there's a good sushi place called Katarobata. We're like, fuck it, let's get it. And we went, and first of all, everything was so bomb. They have this fucking scallop and foie gras little situation. Oh,
so good.
So good. Oh, my God. So good. So bomb. And then there was a lobster mac and cheese?
It was a lobster mac and cheese.
So I'm like, I see this lobster mac and cheese, and mind you, I'm off cheese. So I was like, I'm going to sample this. It looks amazing. I'm gonna take like a bite to get a little flavor. I'm like, oh, this is so good. And I swear, I think I maybe like wiped my mouth or checked my phone. I turn around and it was gone. You had killed that shit.
Because I just waited for him to say, I'm just going to have one bite. And I was like, bet. Bow, 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 bow. I think it was like made to share for three people.
Yeah, it was a big portion, bro. But that you killed it.
It was so, it's like the crispy little cheese on top that they melted. And then the fucking tender little pasta noodles, the creamy sauce. It was so fucking good.
I think it might have been on a fusilli too. And I love when a pasta's on a fusilli, you know? Especially mac and cheese. It picks up all of
I never expected to think that sushi would be good in Houston, but Houston has amazing food.
It was crazy.
Some of the best food I've had was in Houston.
My mind was blown. We went to that restaurant twice.
Oh, that's right.
Because we liked it so much.
It was fucking good.
And even like the let's take it compare and contrast to like we went to super like bougie Japanese spot, right? Turkey Leg Hut was fire too.
Oh, Turkey Leg Hut. Yeah. I didn't realize how popular they are. Fucking popular, dude.
I didn't know they were popular until after we had went on was it Good Day Houston or whatever the show was, and we sampled it, and then I looked up their Instagram and I was like, oh, this shit's really like popping.
And they were telling us too that, oh, you're lucky because you get the express, because you get to try all the stuff. Like most people have to wait a couple of hours to even eat this.
For those of you who don't know, there's a spot in Houston called Turkey Leg Hut where they will take giant turkey legs but then cover it in like
crawfish etouffee or whatever.
Yeah, and some pasta. And you think like, oh, this is just one of those gimmicks where you take some shit, put it on top of some other shit, and it's like, you know, people are taking pictures of it for Instagram or whatever. But nah, the flavor was popping.
Oh, it was so good. And I always get scared because Instagram does a good job of making a place look better than it actually is.
Right.
And it's happened so many times to me because I'm always trying new foods. But now I just go based on like... I never go based on Yelp reviews because Yelp reviews are very off.
Yelp reviews are trash, dog. Yeah,
they're pretty fucking terrible. Here's the most annoying thing about Yelp reviews. I don't give a fuck about your day. I don't give a fuck about your husband who yelled at you in the morning, the dog that shat on your fucking carpet, and then you go, then I went to the restaurant. Go fuck yourself. This is not a personal diary or journal. What the fuck did you eat?
I honestly don't even care if the service is rude.
What's the food like?
I don't care if the hostess fucking gave you a dirty look, bro. Tell me about the sandwich, man.
They never do that, though.
It's so stupid. Especially when there is a Karen of some sort who reviews an Asian restaurant, right? And complains about the service or the server being rude. I'm like, do you not know that the more rude... The staff is, the more fire the food is at an Asian restaurant, because they don't give a fuck about you. They're just trying to give you the food.
Exactly, and that's why the service is always fast. You get your shit so hot, it will scald your face. Every Asian restaurant, they always serve their fucking food at lava temperature.
Yes.
And then you burn your mouth as you eat it, and it's so fucking good.
And it's part of the experience.
If you serve my pho and you don't have a thumb in it when you put it a whole thumb isn't in it, and you place it on my table, I already know it's gonna taste bad.
I want, when I go to dim sum, I want these old Asian bitches screaming at me. I want them to be rude.
I go to this bunmi spot out in the San Gabriel area. It's called Saigon Bakery. Mm-hmm. This lady is such a fucking asshole. She looks at me like I'm a piece of shit every time I go in there. And I thought that she only talks to me like that. She talks to everybody like that.
Yeah.
So I go up. I remember the first time I ever went there. They have fresh baked bun mi rolls, the French Vietnamese French rolls, right? Mm. Their shit is the best. So I go in there and I go, oh, which one's the best? She goes, you don't have eyes? First thing, she's out right off the fucking bat. And I was shocked. I was like, excuse me? It's like, menu. No eyes?
She said, open your eyes. You're like, is this being racist?
Eyes are hella small. So I was like, okay, I'll get the number one and the number two, right? She goes, if you buy two, you'll get three. So order another one. Hurry up. And I'm like, okay, this lady is a fucking asshole. I was like, I'll get the number three. She goes, okay, thank you. And it goes up. This lady up from comes up behind me and orders her food, right?
Yeah.
She goes, I've never been here before. She goes, hurry up, one, two, three, hurry up.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, she just treats everybody like that. But the best bun mi's ever.
She's like the soup Nazi.
She is.
Wow.
She's so, It's so fucking good there, though. I go there every time, and they have fresh crab egg rolls that they fry, and it's just in the case, and you can get like each of them costs like $1.
That sounds bomb.
Oh, it's so
okay. Yeah,
good,
yeah. Text
dude.
Me the name of that place because I'm down.
I'll bring some over next time.
Lit. Speaking of Yelp reviews, you know my family had a Thai food restaurant for 20 years in Paramount, right? Thai Smile Restaurant. If y'all got the pleasure of dining there. There's actually a lot of Thai food restaurants in Paramount, surprisingly. Yeah, they're like down that block on Alondra. There was Thai Smile, my family's spot. Ooh. Right across the way, there was Treasure Pot, which I can say this now, it's actually pretty good as well. But that,
your mom's gonna hear this.
Oh, my mom would be pissed if she heard that. Well, also, well, here's why they're so good though, because the owner of that restaurant used to be a waitress at Thai Smile, and she kind of like took what she learned there and did her own thing at Treasure Pot. But also there was like, there was Thai Orchid down the block. There's a bunch of Thai restaurants, right? And so, you know, having a restaurant for 20 years, experiencing Yelp reviews was a new thing for my parents, you know? And I'm going to tell you all about it right after this break. So, you know, my parents were beginning to hear about like Yelp and getting reviews, right? Because this is never something they've ever had to deal with, right? And then, and of course, you have very annoying, nitpicky people who are giving low reviews for like the dumbest reasons. And there was one review that fucking my dad was so pissed off about. And because my dad's face, you know, my dad, he has a very stone cold delivery, but he's a funny guy. He's a super sweet dude, right? But his face is like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so there was a review that was like, Thai Smile, more like Thai Cry. No. Thai Smile, more like Thai Scowl. If you could have seen the way the owner of the restaurant walked around and talked to us. Thai Scowl, Thai Frown, whatever this lady said. And my dad was like so pissed. You know, it's like, bro. So she gave us this fucking bad Yelp review because my dad just has a resting frowny face. But, like, the food's fire, though.
That's hella funny, dude.
So annoying.
You know what I would do? I would write a Yelp review to counter that.
Yeah.
And I would put a picture of your dad smiling and a picture of your dad non-smiling, but both of them are the same of him not smiling. And say, this is his smile face, and it's just him frowning. He's actually happy.
Oh, trust me, bro. If it was now and my family still had this restaurant, I didn't even know there was an option to, like, reply to Yelp reviews back then. If it was now, trust me, I'd be fucking going in on these people. You know, because a lot of the influx of fans that of customers we got were when the YouTube video started popping too. So a lot of the views were like, oh, had to come here after I saw it in Tim's vlog, you know, here to support Tim. So of course, like anyone talking shit, I would have been able to just talk my shit and people would have been on my side.
The
beauty of the internet.
100%. Well, here's the thing about Yelp reviews too. The odd thing is like, everybody looks at Yelp reviews as if it's a public platform for their feelings, right? It's like that's why they're using it as a life journal,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right.
Me and Rick got into a fight this morning, and then after we showered, we were like, "Let's get some Thai Smile."
Right.
I was in a bad mood, so this food better put me in a good mood. Like, okay, well, you've already started off terrible. You know,
you have these people who like. Who never got published in a fucking magazine, who are like these like freelance writers who never get work, so they wanna paint a whole picture when I just wanna hear about your croissant, your ham and cheese croissant.
Let me tell you something. When somebody says I'm a Yelp leader, you go fuck yourself. That's the lowest accolade you could ever be proud of. The fuck are you talking about? Do you know what I do? I review things.
Do they get paid for that?
No, they don't. It's just the fact that they're a Yelp leader. And they enjoy this fact. They fucking live and breathe this lifestyle. Like, nobody gives a fucking fuck. Listen, I appreciate people who do help these businesses out. Here's the problem. When you review restaurants, right, you're not just reviewing restaurants. You're not just writing something. You are actually affecting the livelihood of this restaurant. There are people here who work. They fucking make a living off of this fucking business. Mm-hmm. They don't think about that shit. To them, it's just, oh, I thought the food was okay. Let me give it 2 stars. But when you do that, somebody has to get paid for this, right? Whenever I do a Yelp review, and I don't do it under my own name, I do it under a different alias.
Mm-hmm.
If
David Schlong.
David Shaw. So I either give it a 4-star or a 5-star. That's right. It. If I didn't like it and it was terrible, the only way you get a 1-star from me is if you like spit in my food. Yeah. You called me a ching chong.
Yeah.
You told me my penis smells funny. It has to be something crazy.
If they tell you the truth?
Yeah. If they look at me and they're like, you were so fat. But then I'll give them a 1-star. If it's like, okay, this food was rotten. Like right. Literally they served spoiled food and they're going to poison the public.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's like, I thought it was okay, I just leave it alone.
I feel you.
I leave it alone.
Yeah.
Even 3 stars might be okay. If mm-hmm. you go to the 2 to the 1, there better be a good fucking reason mm-hmm. other than the fact that you thought that your food at home tastes better.
Yeah.
Because you're fucking with people's livelihood.
The cook would have had to come out here and fucking just whip his penis on my pasta primavera for that shit to happen.
And I gave them a 6-star because it was beautiful. Because
the dick was amazing, yeah.
I gave a 1-star to this Korean restaurant.
Yeah.
Because it was funny because our friends Bart and Joe were there too. It was like the whole JK crew.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst service ever that we had. The food was fucking terrible. And even then, I wasn't going to leave a review.
Yeah.
Before we left, we gave them like, I don't know, like a 5% tip because they treated us like pure shit.
Mm.
They treated me as if I wiped the fucking Korean barbecue with my ass and I grilled it on after. And they come out and they're like, this is all the tip you're giving us?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. We never want you here again. And we're like, we got done eating. We're leaving. we're done. And they were like cursing at everybody like in Korean.
Really?
They didn't know I was Korean. So I started fucking going off in Korean. I can't speak Korean very well, but my mom used to curse at me a lot.
You know the cuss words.
So that's my shit.
And I know them now because of you.
Exactly. So I started fucking going off on these people. Gave them a 1-star. Everybody gave them a 1-star. In a month, they closed down.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I don't think it's because of us, but that's how they were treating people.
Damn.
And we only went there because it was a cheap Korean barbecue. We were so fucking poor.
십새끼.
Yeah, 십새끼, 개새끼, 시발년들이 누구한테 소리 지르고 지랄이야, 개새끼야. See, that's...
Bitch!
Yeah, motherfucker! If you've never cursed in Korean, it's very soul satisfying.
No, even the just like... 십새끼 is as fucking satisfying as a motherfucker, dog.
Yes,
I love it. I love when you taught me that.
Dude, I'll show you this video later on. It's the funniest fucking video. So this is somebody that I know through Instagram. And then she has me as one of her close friends, so you can see these private stories. There's this video. This is how Korean people are. They're so fucking angry. It's so hilarious that when I see a Korean man get angry, it's comforting to me. Because it's what I grew up with.
Right, right, right.
But this guy, he's sitting at a restaurant. And he's saying this in Korean. He goes... if you translate it, he's talking to this other old Korean guy, and you out of nowhere he stands up, and he takes a little soju, little shot glass, smashes it on the floor, gets up in the middle of a restaurant. He goes, "This is who I am!" Like that's what he's screaming. This is who I am. You think I'm a piece of shit? Let's take this outside.
Oh my god!
And he's like 70 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's other Korean guys just staring at him, super quiet, just drinking his soju. And the waitress asks him to leave. This is the funniest part of the video. He throws it, gets another one, smashes it on the floor, and the waitress is getting scared. This younger Korean guy, like my size, comes up to him. He's like screaming. The guy just walks up to him. He looks at how big he is. He goes, "Okay, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry."
And then he hands him a card to join the Squid Game. He's like, "You'd be the perfect contestant for my thing I'm starting
you
up.
You want to win $100?
It's just starting out.
It's $100. Okay. Lisa one here. Did you like Squid Game?
I did.
I loved it.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. I loved it.
I cried so much. Episode 6.
Episode 6 was the fucking... Ugh. And you know what? Okay, spoiler alert.
If you haven't watched it, what the fuck?
Yeah, please. Yeah. Oh, he hasn't watched it. Okay. We're not going to talk about it yet. You can listen to spoilers on my podcast and David's podcast on our separate ones because Producer Man hasn't seen it yet, so we're not going to talk about it.
You haven't seen fucking Squid Game? The fuck is wrong with you?
Seriously, I made sure.
By the way, Producer Man is Asian.
Yeah.
Asian card cut.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
I was scrolling through Twitter and seeing so much that I was like, even I was telling my wife, I was telling Chia, I was like, "Babe, I know we've kind of fallen off with our shows."
I was like, "In our relationship?"
"I know things aren't what they used to be, but we need to watch Squid Game before I read a fucking spoiler on Twitter." And so we like made time to watch this shit because I was like, it's the biggest show in the world. I need to know what people are talking about.
That's the craziest thing. It is the biggest show on Netflix past Stranger Things. And Stranger Things was insane.
Yeah, it's the most viewed ever on Netflix.
And if we're going to keep this on the food topic, have you ever tried the popki candy?
No, the little cookies that they licked? Yeah. No, never.
So popki is trash.
Is it?
It tastes like shit. That's the funniest thing. So I always watch these. Listen, I know that everybody's trying to be hyper respectful to like cultures and stuff because you don't want to get canceled. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say it doesn't taste that good.
And well, you're Korean, you can talk shit about your own shit.
Yeah, it's old and canny from back in the day. Mm. So when I went to Korea, they used to there's like these old like medieval towns, like our version of medieval, like back in the Joseon days. Like so they make these old candies, and so back in the day that was candy. It's like my grandma's candies, and so they take sugar, they caramelize it. Mm-hmm. They throw in baking powder and it creates the brittle consistency of the candy. It just tastes like fucking burnt sugar. Mm. That's all that it tastes like.
I see.
So I remember when people review it and they're like, this is amazing. You fucking liar.
Hype beast, bro.
You fucking liar. It's not amazing. You know what I mean? It just is what it is.
They were just trying to be nice.
Yeah, I get it. But then everybody's like, oh, this is, did you? Because people would have, you know, they're messaging me. They're like, dude, I had the candy. It's awesome. You don't have to say that.
It's well, not. Because this is the thing. Even if they're not Korean and they're calling it trash, even though you know it's trash, all the Koreans are going to be like, you're disrespecting my culture, bro. You fucking, you don't know what you're talking about.
Not me. I'd be like, you're right. That shit was not that fucking good.
You know what? I just remember this. Speaking of food, of us not liking food and it affecting a business, there was a dude, bro, that was pissed at me. I saw on Twitter some dude, like, it was a conversation, people were talking about me, and some dude was like, fuck Tim DiDiaghetto. I was like, what'd I do to you? And he was like, you ruined my family's business. I was like, what? And I guess during remember the Filipino episode of Send Foods, the last one that went on my channel, where we couldn't eat shit because like there were just so many fans there coming up to us. There were these cookies that we ate, and I guess like we were just saying how they were kind of dry. I forgot what we said, but we didn't give them the best review. But
we didn't
like,
give the business name either, though.
I don't remember. I don't remember. But we were like, yeah, you know, that's the thing. We liked some flavors and we didn't like some flavors.
Yeah.
We're like, this one's great. This one's meh, not for me. He was like, you know, you shitted on my mom's like bakery and we went out of business because of it.
No,
like,
you went out of business because your cookies were dry.
Wow, hate David so. Not
no,
me.
But we never we talk. I remember that because we talked about the ones we liked and we talked about the ones we didn't like.
And here's also whenever we like don't like something,
we don't say the business.
We don't say the name.
Yeah,
yeah. Like if the name was mentioned, then we for sure had some good things to say about it.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So I mean, dude was definitely like bitter at me though,
and that's like misplaced anger.
And I was like, bro, look. You know, that was a crazy day. You know, I understand how shit gets, it's different outside of the shop. I'll totally come through, give it a real-ass review. He was like, I'm good.
Yeah, he just wanted to say something. Yeah, of course I'm good. Yeah, get the fuck out of here. Because that's the thing, too. Like, we talked about that when we say good things or things we don't like, we also say good things about the place, too. Because we're very mindful about not destroying businesses.
Exactly. We understand how you own businesses. I my family literally had a restaurant for 20 years. I get it.
Dude, there are places, too, that on Send Foods, like, if it wasn't good, we just didn't put it on the episode because we didn't want to make fun of the business.
Yeah.
We're just like, hey, don't put that stuff in. But if we did say something we didn't like, we talked more about what we liked about it versus that one small thing we didn't like about it. So, no, that is unfair. That is unfair. And we could scrap when we see it. We could scrap,
homie.
And I'm going to come up to you and I'm going to open mouth kiss you. What you going to do about that? Consensually, homie.
Put one of them cookies in my mouth, cuz.
Yeah. And put that tongue in my mouth too, cuz. Yeah, you ain't about that life.
I remember.
Apologies. I'm so sorry that your family's business went under.
Well, yeah, no, that sucks, of course.
Yeah, that sucks.
Running a business, I mean, owning an independent, you know, a business like that, of course, it's difficult. It sucks. It, you know, the restaurant business is really difficult. You know, I would like to think that a couple jokes from us didn't ruin
the
business.
No, it wouldn't have, because guess what? At the end of the day, it's food. If people love it, they fucking love it.
Mm-hmm.
People can go ahead and bash it. The proof is in the fucking pudding, pun intended.
Right.
Like, if it's good, it's good, right? Because there's restaurants, too, that I don't like, but people enjoy it, and it still does fucking well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend it to people to go there, but people still love it. You know, it's like Disneyland. I hate it. Well, not so much anymore.
You hated it.
I hated it. And just because I personally don't like it, and I am very public about it, that I didn't like it, people still go because they fuck with it.
Right.
People like what they like, right?
And that's the thing about it. I mean, and that's why food discussions get so much engagement, right? Because it really is, it's on you. You know, like one person might really love something and someone else might take a bite and be like, "Ugh, this is super disgusting to
me." And that's okay, because food is art.
But people get so angry about it. I understand it too. Like something I love when someone like is like, "Oh, this is I can't. This is gross to me." I'm like, "Are you dumb?" but then I have to check myself. Be like, everybody's taste buds are different. What bothers me is when someone judges something and hasn't even tried it yet.
Yes.
When someone's like, "I would never eat that. That's gross," and they literally haven't even. They don't even know what the fuck it is.
Oh my god, this is so good. Have you ever had cow cornea before? It is amazing.
It's funny that you say that because okay, so remember I did a show with Thrillist called Acquired Taste, and where the main thing of the show was trying different foods from different cultures that maybe isn't necessarily as accepted, right? It's kind of like, oh, this is a little weird. And
this is all Asian food.
There was a handful of Asian episodes, but also, you know, we had like some guinea pig.
Guinea pig is like the number one protein in like South America or something like
right,
that.
Right.
Ecuador.
Cuy is what they call it. Cuy. And it wasn't bad. It was pretty good. But like the one episode where I actually ate less of it than my white guest, there was a restaurant in New York that it was they took the eyeball of the tuna. The fucking big ass eyeball.
Oh, the gelatinous eyeball. The
big ass gelatinous eyeball.
Japanese people love that shit, dude.
Dude, and they made like a soup out of it. And I normally am great with like gooey textures and shit like that. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, I can't eat this. You know what I'm saying? I love oysters. I love a fucking fatty piece of steak. I love all that shit, right? But for some reason, when I had a big chunk of that shit, It didn't make me yak, but it definitely. I was like, I had my bite. I was like, I like the flavors of this, but I was like, I'm cool. I was like, I'm not. I did not eat as much of it as I thought I would. I kind of took my bite, got my flavor. I was like, all right, this is cool. And oh boy, he was damn. I feel bad. I forgot his name, but he has this show on HBO, and it's a weed show. And he also He also played. You watch Dave, Lil Dicky?
I watched half of the first season.
Oh, okay. You gotta watch the second season, dog. It's fucking great. It's like so great. You gotta watch.
I shall.
You gotta watch. And he like went like put the whole eyeball in his mouth. He loved it. He's like, this is great. He's like, that's all you're gonna eat. I was like, you're making me look crazy right now because
I bet you he didn't really like it. And he looked at your Asian face and he was like, I cannot disgrace his ancestors. And he went, this is fat.
Nah, he liked it, man.
It's delicious.
That motherfucker is just so huge. It was a lot.
Yeah, it's fucking Magudo is huge. It's like the eyeball's this big. It's like the size of, I don't know, bigger. It's like the size of bigger than his mic head.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. It's gigantic. It's disgusting.
Yeah. You ever just eaten a tuna eyeball?
I've had fish. Asian people love fish eyes. Like that's like the, oh my god, this is, you know, save it for later. Like they you know, like all like the Chinese homies, their friends, like parents would just love the fish eyes. My parents like my dad likes fish eyes.
That was never my, I guess that's not a Thai people thing. Like I've seen people do it like just kind of like, almost like, oh yeah, sure. Like, but it's not like, ooh, baby, yes.
Don't touch the eyeball. That's mine. And they would just eat that shit. But I like the, one of my favorite parts is just the collar, the fish collar.
Oh, fire. Of course.
Delicious.
Amazing.
Amazing.
My mom is the one that put me onto that.
Like, oh, for real?
We go to a little sushi spot in Long Beach called Awesome Sushi. And I know it sounds like one of these like white-owned sushi spots, but it's not. You know, it sounds like a spot where you could just only get California rolls and shit. But this place is actually, it's legit. And my mom would always order the collar there, either like yellowtail collar or salmon collar. And oh. Pop.
I'm still laughing at the guy who tweeted you. Fuck Timothy De La Guerra.
He's not a fan.
He ruined my pair's business. I like how it's just you, though, because I was also in the video, and most likely I was the one probably saying bad things about the cookie.
Oh, totally. Well, he didn't even at me. It was like, it was one of those days where I was like taking a shit and I was bored, so I just kind of like randomly searched my name. And I just came across a conversation that mentioned me, and he was like, yeah, fuck that guy, or whatever he said. Whatever he said, he was mad. And
also, too, if you're at the festival, it's like a pop-up business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? You're such a good guy, too, though. Like, the fact that you would reach out and be like, hey, let's redo this, and let me help you guys out.
Yeah.
But he's like, dude, the business is gone.
Well, here's the thing. I'm too nice, and I also have a very... unhealthy fear of people not liking me.
Really? Wow, you're the exact opposite. I need a little bit of yours because I need to care and be a little more empathetic.
You know, and here's the thing, right? You know, yeah, I learned that about myself over the years where, yes, I definitely preach like fuck what people think, and I do feel that way, right? Like, who cares? Like, why live your life going off of how other people feel about you and how they judge you and shit like that? I feel like it's that's such a waste of life to live that way. But there's definitely something in me where I learned that, like, if someone just doesn't fuck with me or doesn't, like, just like me, it bugs me a little bit. I'm like, because part of me is like, how could you not like me?
Oh, I got reasons.
I'm such a nice boy.
That's so funny. When people say, you know, I'm a very hyper opinionated person.
Yeah.
And, you know, if somebody says, I don't fucking like David Sells, like, you probably have a good reason.
Right.
You know, I'm like, there's definitely a fucking good reason you don't like me. And yeah. I have to accept that.
But for me, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm adorable.
I'm great. All I do is spread joy. Listen, Filipino cookie guy, if you guys want to run back that business, send us some, and I'll help you out.
He doesn't want
it. Because there was a few cookies that I enjoyed.
He doesn't want it.
No, you send me the fucking cookies.
Well, or maybe he does. Who knows?
Yeah, you send me the fucking cookies, and you send me the ones in the video that I enjoyed, and then I'll be like, these cookies are the shit here. Make sure you get these cookies.
Butanginamo.
Yeah.
You know what we should do on here, too? We should have people... We should try people's shit on this podcast.
I do want to do that. Yeah. I want to have food and try their stuff out, and we could do a live review of their food.
But what if they like poison us?
the Filipino cookies.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Well, that wraps up this episode.
Hey, I enjoyed that. That felt good. How'd you feel? How'd you?
I want to say I didn't like it, so you could just seek my approval.
Wait, what'd I do? What'd I do?
I don't know. I didn't like it, Tim. I thought it was terrible.
So, yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed this first episode of Dudes Behind the Foods. If you liked it, you know, make sure you rate it 5 stars on wherever you're listening to this. Spotify, iTunes.
Share it with a friend.
Yes.
Word of mouth is very fucking important. Go ahead, give us those reviews, because when people see the 5 stars, everybody want to listen.
Just like Yelp.
That's right.
It's all about other people's opinions.
That's right. Tim, I don't like you very much.
Oh. Thanks for watching, everybody. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps.
Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.